I'm Andy Bates, part of the team here at KFUO. While you hear me on the air and in podcasts, I'm also part of the team that works behind the scenes to bring you the programs like this that you value. What you hear on the air and in podcasts is just the tip of the iceberg. Listeners like you generously support everything that makes radio and podcasts happen. Administration, cutting-edge technology, software, hosts, producers, and more. You make this happen. Can we count on you to continue this support? KFUO Share-a-thon, now through April 5th, is a great time to show your support and make a gift or make a plan to give for a whole year. Your generosity is important and appreciated, not just by the KFUO team, but by listeners who get to hear and enjoy Christ-centered programs every day. Will you make a gift today? KFUO.org/give. KFUO.org/give.
Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. Today we follow the order of morning prayer on page 235 in the Lutheran Service Book. The Benedictus hymn is on page 936. The hymn is number 435, Come to Calvary's Holy Mountain. The text is John chapter 5 verses 1 through 15, and the Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from John, the 5th chapter. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, Do you want to be healed? The sick man answered him, Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, Get up, take your bed, and walk. And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed. But he answered them, The man who healed me, that man said to me, Take up your bed and walk. They asked him, Who is this man who said to you, Take up your bed and walk? Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn as there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. O Lord, have mercy on us. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, and apparently by strange pools that are agitated too. Why is everything so agitated? Well, first of all, it's a feast, probably the Passover, and you have lots of people going to Jerusalem. But it's something else. There hadn't been this kind of activity for 400 years, very sketchy in between those last prophets and now. Things are agitated because it is the Messiah's time. Not just these waters are agitated. The Jordan River's waters have been agitated by the preaching of John the Baptist, and by especially that one day when he pointed and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now here we are at the Sheep Gate, which probably means the marketplace nearby to the temple, probably connected with the sacrifices that were being prepared outside, still those lambs walking around. And then here comes the Lamb of God. It seems also maybe to us that there's a lot of superstition. You probably remember that in some of the manuscripts there's a little addition that an angel came and stirred up these waters, and so that's why it mentions that the man has to get down there to be the first one in, and then the healing will come to him. That sounds very strange to us. We're definitely not comfortable with the many and various ways that God works in some places here. But there's a lot more superstition going on than that, right? There's five porched colonnades here. There's five for the books of Moses. And we see those books of Moses in the mind of the Pharisees at work to be angry that at the end of this story, a man is healed because he's taking his bed. He's walking, right? He should have stayed in his portico. He could walk those couple feet, I guess, if he can get there in time to the water, but no farther. This really is the superstitious understanding of God's word, which also, of course, you can have about pools and angels and demons and almost anything else. This idea that it's kind of a transaction, or that if I do my part right or say the words in the right order, that's going to trigger it all to work for me. He should have recognized the prophecy from Ezekiel in chapter 47, which, as we begin to speak about something very new, a very new sort of temple, suddenly we have to talk about how living waters flow out, that bringing life and healing and cleansing to everything that it touches, coming out of the temple, which, of course, is not that temple housed in Jerusalem that would be torn down, into which so much superstition had been, frankly, still today, is poured. This is the temple that is built without hands. It's the very man who comes and walks in to the portico and says to this guy who's been stuck there for 38 years, "Isn't it about time that you be healed?" The man's complaint is that there's no one to help him. Nobody for 38 years had helped him down to the water. Maybe Jesus would do it, but he doesn't seem to have much hope for that either. It's very tragic, of course. But the Lord knows that he is there, and he knows that he needs his help, and the Lord does not shy away from helping him. He does it. But of course, the Lord does it without any superstition, in many and various ways then, but now he has spoken to us by his Son. Take up the mat. Get up. Walk away. Be healed, he could have said. By a word, the Lord is able to do it. By his word, the Lord cleanses us, heals us, finally brings all calamities and destructions and ramifications of sin to an end in our resurrection when we get up for good. Now this is the purpose of the Sabbath. This is not superstition. These are not magic words. These are the all-powerful word of God who made this world, pools and all. The purpose of the Sabbath, as Moses himself said, is that we would rest so that God may do his work and sanctify you. We know then from the Catechism that the Sabbath day no longer has anything to do with Saturday, nor has it been shifted, so now on a different day, we still act like those Pharisees and observe a Sabbath on Sunday instead. Rather, the Lord's word is doing its work at all times, because the Lord has come into our flesh in his word in Christ Jesus and accomplished all things for our good. The Sabbath's purpose of healing, of cleansing, of forgiving is not limited to one day nor to one pool. It is always going on as often as his word is heard. And it is making not just part of us, not just our legs or our eyes well. It is making our whole life holy, sanctified, just as Moses said. Whenever we see diseases, Jesus does say here, "Go and sin no more that nothing worse may happen to you." It makes us uncomfortable to lump sin together with calamities. We just don't want to make those proclamations and sound as if we believe in karma. That's a good instinct. But of course, as we'll hear in the three-year lectionary in a couple weeks, Jesus said, if you see a disaster like a tower falling on someone, it's not because those people are worse sinners, but nevertheless, I tell you, unless you repent, you will likewise perish eternally. Diseases, they are a warning to us. They are the warning penalty from sin. We know that this world is fractured and broken in many ways because sin's corruption, yes, has subjected this world to futility. But of course, it runs deep through us, even corrupting all of the things that are so wonderful about human beings and ruining the things like legs that we should be able to use freely. When we see these, it should call us back like a bit in a bridle to repent, to hear these words again and say, we do not want to sin more and have something worse happen to us. We do not want to fall away from our Lord. We do not want to lose in the crowd Jesus, the one who by a word has cleansed us and forgiven us and made us his own. That would be a disaster. The Lord has said to all of us, be healed, and as he says here, be whole. This is what the forgiveness of sins, the blood of Christ Jesus, yes, the waters of holy baptism have given to us. And the word from Jesus is also that we would sin no more, that we would not jump back into paralysis, but that we would get up and walk in his holiness. Thanks be to God that he has come and given the help that no man ever could. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.